obviously Augustine lived in the Christian era, but also so did the first Roman emperor. That is to say, it was during the age of Augustus, after all, that Jesus was born, as Luke points out in his gospel. So that even though there's a great barrier of time between these works we're going to be talking about and the poet Dante, there is not, from his perspective, the gap that those numbers of years might suggest to us with our modern periodization of the past.
Let's start and talk a little bit about the Bible. First of all, of course, the Bible is the book, you know, sort of capital letters and underlined, of Christianity, and therefore not surprising that Dante gets a great many of his characters and also situations from the Bible. In that vast panoply of characters, all of whom died before the year 1300, their membership card into the afterlife, a great many of them are figures taken directly from the Bible, and that should not be surprising. From beginning to end, we're going to see evidence of biblical characters. But it turns out that for Dante, that was only one of many very important ways in which he looked at the book, in which he read it, in which he understood it, and most important, in which he used it in his own work. One of the things that Bill suggested is that the Bible is, of course, not only a set of Christian documents, but also the history of the Hebrew people as well. And one of the things that folks in the Middle Ages were very concerned about was what sort of relationship might exist between the writings of the Hebrews, what they called the Old Testament, and Christian writings, the New Testament. A lot of energy in the Middle Ages was spent on describing and discussing the relationship between those two parts of the Bible.
Because, of course, there were obvious discontinuities between the Hebrew scripture and the way Christians lived in New Testament times, even more so in Dante's days. To take some obvious things, there are certain dietary laws, for example, in the Old Testament, or the law of circumcision, that Christians simply don't practice. So the reality is there is this discontinuity, and therefore, if there is this discontinuity, but all of the Bible, Old and New Testaments, are the inspired Word of God, then how do you make sense out of that, since some of the things that seem to be prescribed in one are not, in fact, followed through, and sometimes they're even consciously rejected in the new dispensation? That was a real struggle for Christians, almost literally since the first Christian document was written by St. Paul a few years after Jesus' earthly ministry ended. And the problem continued to be an important one because, after all, about 80% of the Bible is, in fact, Hebrew scripture rather than Christian scripture. And gradually, what we began to find is various Christian writers struggled to work out ways of understanding relationships between the Old Testament and the New. Now, luckily, there are some guidelines to that in the New Testament itself. For example, Jesus says something like this: "Just as Jonah, the Old Testament prophet, was in the belly of the whale, so I will be in the earth for 3 days. So that there's a relationship between that Jonah story and the story of Jesus' crucifixion and death. Or St. Paul says that when the Hebrews went through the Red Sea, that it was a kind of baptism, relating, therefore, the most important story, perhaps, in the Old Testament, the story of the Exodus, to the ritual that we identify as specifically Christian in the New with baptism. So even being rooted in the New Testament itself, it was a concern of those earliest Christians to figure out how to preserve, make use of, and understand properly what became four-fifths of the Christian Bible.
And so, therefore, in a more systematic way, they began to develop this series of relationships, and what they said was something like this: events in the Old Testament are important and they're historically true, but they're incomplete. That is to say, they can't be understood without seeing how they are in some ways completed by events that take place in the New Testament in Christian scripture. And so a series of correspondences developed, again, in terms of the ones that Bill mentioned, the events surrounding the Exodus and the events of baptism as a New Testament rite, and also, in particular, a set of relationships between the important people, the important characters, if you will, of Hebrew scripture as sort of looking forward to characters in the New Testament. One important example of this would be to see David, the great king, the greatest of all Hebrew kings, becomes a prefiguration, to use one of the words that they developed here, of Christ himself. That as David was a king, so also was Christ.